Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. This show is all about life transformations and our journey from where we were to why we are doing what we are doing today. We will discuss the hiccups, the roller coasters, and the blood, sweat, and tears that has been poured out while discovering our purpose. It is all about our transformations. Here is your host, Sean Douglas.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Life Transformation Radio. Super excited that you're here. I am your host, Master Resilience Implementer, TEDx speaker, performance enhancement expert, and author, Sean Douglas. I want to welcome all of our listeners who are listening from wherever you are. This show is currently heard in over 30 countries, such as the U.S., India, Panama, Canada, France, Australia, and Norway. So I want to thank you to those who are listening from around the world. Life Transformation Radio is all about our transformations. Here we tell the stories of why we're doing what we're doing. We highlight that transformational moment that changed our lives and how we are using these to help transform others and elevate their lives as well. You can listen to us every Wednesday and on the first and third Fridays at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. On the show, I have impactful and amazing guests that are elevating lives all around them. And my guest today does exactly that. If you have any questions for any of my guests that are on the show, when you are listening to us live, you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. So if you have a question for me or the guests, I ask that you call in, talk to us, let us know what you like about the show, what you've heard so far. So without further ado, as they say, please help me welcome to the show, Michelle PW. What is going on?
Oh, well, I'm so excited to be here with you today. So that's what's going on.
I am super pumped to have you on the show because we connected in San Diego last September at an event called the New Media Summit, and I was blown away at the things that you're doing. And I learned a lot just in the 10, 20 minutes that we were talking. Like, I learned some things about copywriting and marketing. And so I'm super pumped to have you on the show.
Well, thank you. Yeah, that was really an amazing event, I have to say. So it's turned me on, and now I'm all about going to more podcast events.
There you go. I love it. So if you're ready to get started, I am ready.
I'm ready.
Let's do this. So the title of this episode is going to be called Love-Based Business with Michelle PW. Michelle is the best-selling author of the Love-Based Business series of books that share how to sell more with love and build a solid, profitable business on a foundation of love. In addition, she owns a copywriting and marketing company along with writing and publishing fiction books. Considered one of the hottest direct response copywriters and marketing consultants in the industry today, Michelle has a reputation for crafting copy and creating online and offline marketing campaigns that get results. Michelle started writing professionally in 1992, working at agencies and on staff as a marketing, communication, and writing specialist. In 1998, she started her business as a freelance copywriter. She quickly realized her vision was bigger than serving her clients as a one-woman shop. In 2004, she began the transformation to building a copywriting and marketing company. 2 years later, her vision was turned into reality. Michelle PW Creative Concepts and Copywriting LLC is the premier direct response copywriting and marketing company today, catering to entrepreneurs and small business owners internationally, including the who's who of the personal development and transformational industry. In addition, Michelle is also a national speaker and the best-selling author of the Love-Based Business Series books that teach entrepreneurs how to sell more with love and build a solid, profitable business on a foundation of love versus fear. And if you want to grab your free book, only the listeners can get this book. So if you're listening, write this down. Grab your free book, How to Start a Business You Love and That Loves You Back. You can visit love, Based Biz, B-I-Z, lovebasedbiz.com. Go grab your free copy of her book. She's on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. So definitely check her out and connect with Michelle. So I'm like, wow, super pumped because I suck at copywriting. So I'm sure I'm going to learn some things today.
Well, you're not alone. A lot of people either suck at it or say they suck at it or just plain don't want to write. So there's that too.
Oh, definitely, definitely, definitely. I don't know what it is. Like, I think that, like, I think it's good. And then somebody's like, yeah, that really sucked. You know what I mean? So I don't know. It's just kind of weird.
Nearly as much as you think, but, no. But yeah, I don't think so.
Explain to us real quick, what is copywriting? Like when I think of copywriting, because I'm an author, I think of, oh, my book is copyrighted. I don't have to, you know, nobody's going to steal my stuff, right? I don't have to worry about people stealing things. But what is, like, is it more than just copywriting in a sense you're self-protecting?
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that up because it's not protecting intellectual property. So that's actually spelled differently, C-O-P-Y-R-I-G-H-T, and it's all government and lawyers and other unpleasant things. So what I do, what I've specialized in is copywriting, W-R-I-T-I-N-G, which is precisely what it sounds like, which is writing promotional materials for business. And then I actually, there's a subset of that. That's my real specialty, which is something called direct response copywriting. And the reason why it's called direct response copywriting is because your ideal prospects are directly responding to the marketing materials. So it's like you're creating little salespeople to go out and sell your stuff while you sleep or work or, you know, play with your kids or whatever it is that you want to do. It's a great way to leverage your marketing. This is a way to market, to leverage and market one to many is by using direct response copy. But of course, the problem is for a lot of people, they hate it because it feels slimy, salesy, inauthentic, like a used car salesman. This is the copy that when you find on the web, and you're scrolling down forever going, just how much is this thing? And does anybody read all this stuff anyway?
Yep.
Yeah. And nobody likes it. Nobody likes it. But the short answer is that it does work. And it can really, as an entrepreneur, it can massively free up your business and your time.
How so?
Because of that leveraging one to many. And the thing is that because now you don't have to go out and sell and market yourself, do all the work one-on-one. So that means you don't have to like show up at the networking events and make the, you know, get the leads one by one, then follow up every, you know, one by one, then sell them one by one. And then you got to actually, you know, deliver what you sold. You know, usually business owners just want to focus on the service delivery, which is what you're selling and not the marketing piece of it. So if you use direct response copy though, you see now the direct response, the copy can actually attract the prospects to you and can do a lot of the selling for you and a lot of the follow-up for you. You still might have to get on the phone. I'm not saying you're never going to get on the phone. You likely will always have to get on the phone. But using the direct response copy and marketing can have you get on the phone with warm people that you didn't actually have to go out and meet and bring to your business. You know, the reality is if you aren't using direct response copy and direct response marketing strategies in your business, you are likely, I'm not saying you are, but you are likely going to always have a pretty small business because it's just really hard to scale. I'm not saying you can't, and I'm not saying that there's some unicorns out there who haven't done it because there's always a unicorn. But I'm just saying that chances are it's never going to grow. You're never going to grow much beyond like a one-on-one business. So like my massage therapists don't use this, you know, and so that's the thing. They're never going to really grow to like a multi-million-dollar business. You know, they're probably always going to just have sort of a job-like business.
Got it. So the first question that I always ask on the show, and I think it's the most important question as we dive deep, is what is your why? I feel like without a why, we're kind of just floundering. There's no purpose, right? So when I wake up in the morning, my why is always at the forefront of everything I do. So why do you do what you do? What is your why?
Yeah, I agree with you. I think people flounder when they don't have a why. So I have a couple of whys, but probably, you know, it's interesting because my why actually shifted. I thought my why was something else.
Okay.
Yeah. So, sure. In fact, I'll even tell you about the shift because that might be interesting, because for a long time I thought my why was, and I'm not saying that this isn't part of what gets me up, but I realized it wasn't my full why. And initially I thought it was that I really wanted to grow a business that could help, because part of what I do is I help other entrepreneurs market their business. And the thing is that not only am I making a difference in all those entrepreneurs who have businesses, but then all those people that they would never be able to reach without my help. You know, I actually have the capacity to really change and transform the world, because I'm helping the entrepreneurs reach the people they are most meant to serve. So the people who they are meant to serve gets help, and the entrepreneurs get help. And that sounds really great. And you can see, that's part of the why, but that wasn't the full why. So part of what ended up happening was, after my mother passed a couple years ago, and I went through kind of a crisis of everything, questioning everything, and realized that, you know, one of my real dreams, I taught myself to read when I was 3 years old because I wanted to write my book so badly. And I had completely left my books behind. I had been so focused on this, you know, level of service, actually doing the done for you work for you. So when my mother was dying, one of the things that happened, I was holding her hand in ICU and saying to myself over and over again, you know, let go and let God, and I'm not going to die with my books inside me. So one of the things that I started to realize was that it was much bigger than that, because part of it was actually getting my books out there so I could help entrepreneurs at this level, instead of even me or me and my team. So I have a copywriting company. I have a team of copywriters, and we're still, you know, it's still going strong. But there, again, you know, there is a time limitation. So that's part of where the books came in, because the books are part of that. And really what I think one of my ultimate things is, I'm really also here because I'm here to inspire other people to be more comfortable with their fear-based or uncomfortable emotions, because I do think that that's part of the reason why we have so many issues in this world, is we're so busy running away from our fear-based emotions.
That's true. Absolutely. That's great. So tell me who you were before you got to this point. Go back 5, 10, 15, however many years. Who were you before you got to this point, if you look back?
Oh, I was a mess.
That's awesome.
And the thing is, you wouldn't have known it. That's the funny thing. I mean, from the outside, I was very good at hiding what a train wreck, what was going on in my head. And what I mean by train wreck, let me be clear, there are train wrecks and there are train wrecks. I've been around enough entrepreneurs that sometimes, you know, they're busy taking selfies in expensive cars and in the Four Seasons, and then they're declaring bankruptcy. That wasn't my train wreck. My train wreck was, you know, I had a good business. I had a multiple six-figure business. I was profitable. But what was going on in my head, I had no peace of mind. I was massively consumed with worry and anxiety. And over the years, it was just getting worse and worse and worse. I kept putting more pressure on myself. Really was convinced that I had to make some sort of undefinable level of income, and then all my worries would go away. And nothing else I could, you know, that was what I needed to do. So that was all my focus was, and I was desperately unhappy. So it was 2012 when my mom was first diagnosed with cancer. That was a tough year anyways, because my mother diagnosed with cancer was actually the final straw. There was some other personal issues that had happened earlier that year. And I just had a bit of a mental meltdown. I started crying. I couldn't stop. And I had nightmares, and it was really bad. And so in the middle of this whole thing, like a couple of weeks of just really suffering, I got this little voice in my head, and the little voice said to me, you know, life is, you know, 10% what happens to you and 90% of how you handle it. And I realized in that moment that how I was handling all this was awful. it was terrible.
Yeah, right.
So if life is 10% what happens and 90% how you handle it, maybe I need to change that 90%. So I found a spiritual mentor, and one of the first things she told me to do was learn about the Enneagram. I don't know if you've ever had a guest on that talked about the Enneagram before, but I'm an Enneagram 6, which is warrior.
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it's a really interesting, I really thought it saved my life. And if there's any other warriors out there, you know, learning about an Enneagram 6 may indeed save your life too, because I know it's the train wrecks going on in your head. But there's 9 types. And your personality and your ego is kind of wrapped around your biggest fear. And each type has a biggest fear. And they're based on the 7 deadly sins plus 2. And for better or for worse,
really?
Actually, the Enneagram 6 is fear, which is not a deadly sin. So I'm one of the plus 2. But it's really interesting, because when you read it and you start reading your personality, the actions that you're taking, it's not so much your actions that you take to protect yourself from your greatest fear, of course, cause you to have your greatest fear.
Yeah, right.
And so it's kind of the self-fulfilling prophecy. So you have to kind of break through that. And so that's what I started doing. And part of what that was requiring me to sit in my worry and not allow my head to go off in future spin. So I had to feel the feelings of worry and anxiety. And the first time I did this, by the way, I literally thought I was going to die. I felt this was so bad. I didn't think I could possibly be doing this right. But I stayed with it because I was really pretty desperate. And eventually I broke through. And really, I don't worry anymore. So that's really what's happened in this whole thing. And it was after that, after I'd gotten a lot of peace a couple years later, when the love-based philosophy really downloaded into me. And I never would have had the love-based philosophy download into me without going through this.
Wow. I'm just blown away because I've never heard that.
The Wisdom of the Enneagram is the first book for anybody who's interested. I find the whole thing fascinating.
So do I. So looking back, can you pinpoint exactly what your transformational moment was?
So I don't know if it was the meltdown it was probably right there. If it was the meltdown or if it was actually the first time I felt the feelings, I was in Cabo. It worked out perfectly. You know, these things always do work out perfectly, just as long as you stop trying to control everything. If you surrender to what's happening, you know, the universe actually, you know, will help. It's a kind of an amazing thing, especially for control freaks. I took the book with me, and we were in Cabo for 2 weeks. So it was great because, you know, we're by the ocean, and I live in Arizona, which is in the desert. There's no ocean around. So ocean and water is really good for transformation. You know, I could take a lot of baths, saltwater baths to kind of help through this. So, and I was on vacation, which of course is not necessarily, I mean, nobody wants to be feeling really crappy when they're on vacation, but in retrospect, it was perfect. So I could really just sit and like I said, because the first time I was there, I mean, I remember sitting outside in the sun. I mean, it was a beautiful place. And like I felt so awful. And I remember emailing my spiritual mentor in this panic. And that was the other thing too. It was kind of nice because I could email, but I couldn't call. I couldn't text. I had some of that stuff taken away, which was good because it relied on me to just kind of sit and be with my emotions, which is precisely what I needed. If I had been home, I could have picked up the phone. I could have done some other things to distract myself. And true. I think in that, so that happened. And like I said, it was an awful day, an awful afternoon. But then it was funny because then a day or two later, I suddenly realized that my anxiety had gone down significantly. And I thought, huh. So I was able to stay with it. because it was just the start. You know, fear-based emotions, and fear-based emotions, by the way, are fear, grief, anger, you know, shame, guilt, all those emotions, you don't want to feel. And, you know, love-based emotions are obviously the emotions you do want to feel. And where I got into this was because selling and marketing and copy, persuasion, any kind of persuasion, the only way you're going to persuade somebody to take action is you have to tap into their emotions. And you can either tap into their fear-based emotions or their love-based emotions. But you need to tap into emotions. So that's where... That's kind of how this whole thing got connected with the copy piece of it. But, you know, it's amazing because the deeper I went with this whole thing, I started to realize just how much we react to our emotions. How often do we allow our fear-based emotions to cause, you know, to we either take action, you know, which is usually not good action, or we make decisions from our emotions. And our emotions just want to be felt. Even our fear-based ones, once they feel them, they move on, and that's it. But, you know, you're not supposed to argue with them. You're not supposed to discuss things with them or rationalize with them or make decisions or react from them. You just feel them. And the more you can understand that and the less afraid you are when they pop up, you know, your entire life changes. I mean, you really can have inner peace, and you really can make decisions that are not based on emotion.
That's absolutely right. Absolutely. What would you say to somebody who is experiencing these emotions that you felt? What is your message to them?
So to pause and breathe and just feel. And just so the next time something hits you, like rage, and, you know, and you have this, and what's going to probably happen, the first thing you have to do is you have to be aware of what your behavior is. And some common behaviors are, you know, you want to rush home and grab a glass of wine or eat Rocky Rococo ice or Rocky Road ice cream.
Rocky Road.
Or maybe you want to get on Facebook and start ranting about something.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, you know, starting fights, ranting, or, you know, getting into massive arguments with people, or arguing or yelling at your kids or your spouse, even though you know that, you know, it's not their fault. All of these actions are to diffusing, you know, they're giving you another outlet for the energy that you're feeling with the emotion. So you're sending it out that way. You're numbing the emotion. You're pushing it back. You're not feeling it. So the first thing you have to do is you have to and the thing is you probably do multiple behaviors. So, but there's probably going to be a couple of your go-to behaviors. I mean, for me, I also procrastinated. I had lack of focus.
Oh, yeah.
I also might, this is where you binge on Netflix, you know, so that's other ways it can show up. I mean, really there's a lot of ways it can show up. So the first thing you have to do is see that and then see what your action is. And so, because then what you're going to want to do is not do the action. And I will say, like, the anger one is harder. So it took me a while. I remember the first time I stopped myself, because I wanted to, my husband said something, and I so much wanted to yell at him. And the thing is what he said to me, it was one of those stupid, I mean, I've been married for a long time, over 20 years. So, you know, it was something that he said, and I took it, I made a story around it that wasn't even true, which I realized after I did this. And it taking me a while, I had to have a lot more control over my emotions before I could do this. But I remember I wanted to yell at him. And I remember I was like opening my mouth to yell, and I actually clenched my jaw shut. And so I'm standing there, I was actually in the kitchen making breakfast, because I make shakes for both of us. And I'm standing there with my mouth clenched shut, not letting myself talk. And I didn't let myself talk for a good 5-10 minutes. And then the situation just resolved itself. You know, I said absolutely nothing, and everything just resolved itself. And that's a real advanced thing. But that's the thing. That was my first time stopping anger. And when I was able to stop anger and get out of that moment, now it's, I don't, I mean, I certainly feel anger, so don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But it's very rare for me to lash out in anger. I can usually control the initial hotness enough to think through what it is that I want to say and sort through, is this a story that I'm making up about what this person said? Am I being triggered? And, you know, and I can actually ask questions or, you know, be more curious. So that's the kind of thing that's where this can lead. I mean, it can really just completely transform the way you interact with the people around you.
Yeah. Oh yeah. So true. Perfect. So what do you think was the best part about your transformation?
Well, the fact that I do have inner peace and I don't worry. So, worrying piece of it, because I probably should talk, because that's how I started it. Worrying was a little easier in some respects because I didn't have that, you know, second where you want to open your mouth and yell. Because what happened with me is you get lost in that worry and you start future spinning and you start playing that what if game and going, what if this happens? So what I had to do is I had to stop, like when I saw myself, you do get so involved in the story, you don't even realize that you're saying it. But, you know, eventually you can start to see that you're repeating this what if and what if. And so then what you do is you have to force yourself to stop thinking it, which is really hard. But you force yourself to stop in that story and then you just feel that worry. And me, where it's going up for me is my gut. And you just feel and breathe into that worry. And like I said, it's going to feel awful. Don't get me wrong. But eventually it will dissipate. So if this is really intense for you, by the way, because this is actually pretty intense to just feel your emotions the way I'm describing, another way to do it that would be less intense is to tap. So I'm not a tapping expert, you know, emotional freedom technique,
right. But
that can be another way to release the emotional energy, the emotional triggers around it. Use tapping and to kind of dissipate that, and then and get through it that way. So that can be something else. You still feel the emotions, but then you tap, and then rather than just sitting and breathing and feeling your emotions, you're tapping, and then your brain kind of calms down, and you move through it. So that's, I wanted to mention that because that could be another way if what I'm talking about is, or like the first time you try it, you think, oh my God, this is awful. Try tapping. Tapping may help.
Yeah, perfect. So what do you think was the worst part about your transformation?
Well, I still get stuck in the whole, the worst part of this is that I would love to be able to say that you get to the end. It's like, you know, I'm cured.
Yeah.
I don't have any
problems
anymore.
I'm good now.
If you have a big goal and a big dream and you are really pushing yourself, this is going to keep happening because every time you hit a new level, you know, resistance is going to come up. I mean, that's what Stephen Pressfield for the War of Art called it. Gay Hendrix for the up, you know, called it an upper limit problem. You know, there's other names for this, but basically, you know, it is never ending. And I am always more than a little frustrated when it crops back up for me, because I'm just like, ugh, haven't I gone through enough? So, but then I have to relax and surrender and breathe. And I will say, though, the longer you do it, the faster everything moves through you. And usually it's not nearly as intense either. So it definitely gets easier and faster and better. But, yeah, it really is a never-ending journey.
I love it. Yeah, I completely agree, because I still battle, like, negative self-talk and like stupid things. I'm like, why would I think that? Like, I literally teach people like how to, you know, think big and, you know, don't compare yourself, like all this stuff. And then I find myself like falling into those traps.
Right.
You know, I'm like, oh, it's so frustrating.
it is. So. But it's, you know, we're human and try to give yourself a break. And I try to give myself a break. So I'm giving you, I'm giving you the same thing that I give myself,
Perfect.
But yeah, give yourself a break.
Perfect. So while you were building your business, right, love-based business, okay, who were some of your influencers that kind of helped you along?
So, I mean, I had some wonderful friends that really pushed me to come up with a new way to write copy that wasn't so hypey and salesy and inauthentic, which is, you know, traditional direct response copy, what I call fear-based copy, which sounds a lot more judgmental than I want it to be, by the way. But I...
Right. Hello? Did we lose you? I think we lost Michelle. Michelle, are you still with us? Oh, I think we lost her. So what happens when you do live shows? Hold on, we'll get her back. Get her back. So we were talking with Michelle PW here on Life Transformation Radio. If you have any questions, you can call in at 657-383-1109. Again, the number is 657-383-1109. Michelle, are you still with us? Hello, Michelle. That we're going to get her back. That's what we have. Technical difficulties on live radio shows. That's what we deal with. Michelle, are you with us? We're getting her back. Hey, there you are.
Hey, can you hear me now? Yes.
This is live show.
Weird.
Right?
That
was like
super
weird. I'm like, where'd she go? She's like mid-conversation. But you know what, though? This is live show. Like, this is what I like. You know, people seeing the behind-the-scenes stuff. You know, they're seeing the weirdness that goes on. Like, you know, like, someone's driving right now, and they're like, all right, what happened? And I swear, someone's checking their phone right now. Was it me? Like, what happened? Like, what happened? They don't hear anything. So,
well, you know what was so I know the thing show. Is I've done so many podcasts and you know all the pre-recorded ones nothing happens, but of course the live ones
right?
I get
oh yeah
off.
Oh, it's like Murphy's Law, right?
Yeah,
yeah. So it's like Murphy's Law. So, but yeah, so we were talking about, you know, the influencers that we have in our life, and you were talking about some friends and family and some people that have helped you along. I'd love to know, you know, where you've taken it since then. You know, since you started. You know, I'd love to see or I'd love to hear, you know, kind of like what you're enjoying most about what you're doing right now and you know, and all that jazz.
So right now, what I'm really loving is the fact that I'm in a place where I've got my books out there and I'm able to have the time to like go on, you know, like, right, you know, shows like yours and talk about this and really just get the love-based philosophy out in the world, because I do feel like this is transformational. Not only can it transform how we market and sell ourselves and our businesses, but now we can build our businesses on a foundation of love. I mean, so much in our lives have been built on a foundation of fear. I mean, our governments, a lot of our businesses before, marketing, selling, all of this, our goals, our relationship with money. And this is really an opportunity that we can, because that's the deeper I went into this, the more I realized how it just affects every part of our life. So I've written like a series of books, and I have more planned because I just see it's so important. So I've got, you know, love-based copy, love-based marketing, love-based money and mindset, and love-based goals, because I really want, you know, to show practically how self-development can fit with all this other stuff. Because I mean, I think that's one of my biggest problems with self-development, personal development, spiritual development, is it always kind of feels like it happens on the side. And, you know, it happens over here. That's what happened with me. You know, it's like, I can work on my personal development once I make X amount of money. When reality, I needed to work on my inner game and my own capacity for peace. And that would have made it a lot easier to then work on the external, you know, the money and the marketing and all that other stuff. So it's they're all related. So having the opportunity to be able to do that, and I had set myself up so that I wasn't able to work. I didn't, like, I was, you know, I was procrastinating. I would lack focus when it came to my own work. So a lot of my transformation now is that I've been able to do that. I now have the time and the energy so that I can work on my own stuff. And then, of course, I've brought back in my fiction. So I'm writing fiction as well.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's awesome. And you were saying that before that you did some fiction stuff too. So that's great.
Yeah, so I'm able to pursue both. And that was, you know, it was really difficult because I've tried writing fiction and working on my business in the past, and it was always very stressful. But now it's actually not. It's been amazing to me that this work, that sorting out the crap in my head, has given me the time and the space to work on fiction and nonfiction and not feel stressed. So for all of you listening who are artists who have, you know, maybe you have fiction or art, painting, music, something that you don't, you know, that you're doing, but it's not obviously bringing in your full-time income, and maybe you're struggling with that division, you know, the more you can kind of sort out your own mindset, and the easier it is to balance everything.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. So I always ask this question. I'm fascinated by the answers, right? What's the first thing you would do if you had to start completely over? You know, the business is gone. You still have the knowledge, you know, all the friends, all the money, all the whatever. Like, you're starting at scratch, like, but you still have the knowledge. What's the first thing you think you'd do?
So, wait, I don't have the friends and the connection? Is that what you're saying? That's
yeah,
all gone?
So all you're left with is your knowledge that you've had, that you've gained, and you have to start all over again.
So I would start, I mean, I think the first thing to start really with is building your audience. And I realize that it's, you know, because you have to build your, and quite honestly, I know there's like this face, I'm going to do something about this because this Facebook ad just drives me crazy where it talks about building an audience is a waste of time. And I haven't actually watched it, so I don't know what he's teaching, but I can make an informed guess. What do I think he's teaching? And while I think what he's saying has got some merit, because it does take a long time to build an audience, that is the best way to have stability in your income is to build your own audience. So a lot of what you need to do is kind of balance, you know, making, you know, short-term sales and bringing clients on board with building an audience. So that's what I would do. And I would be very, and the thing is that I would be more clear, because how I started, I just kind of, you know, 1999 is when I started as a freelance copywriter, and I started this, which is then, and then in 2004, I turned it into a copy writing company. But, you know, I was very unfocused and kind of like, you know, when I first started out, it was like, oh, you know, sure, I'll fix you. You know, I'll plan your event and I'll do a PR campaign, you know, all the stuff that I really wasn't, I mean, I could do, but that didn't mean I should do. So
right.
I wasted a lot of energy and time just kind of going in a lot of different directions. So now I'm a lot more clear and more clarity. So I would be a lot more focused in what I was doing.
That's awesome. That's a great answer. Great answer. So what do you think was one of the best resources that you've used during your journey up to this point?
One of my best resources. So what do you mean by resources?
Yeah, it could be experience. Could be experience. Could be people. Could be books. Could be a website. Anything that you're like, oh, without this, I'd be screwed.
So I think some of the resources. So I guess with me, I mean, a lot of it has been books. So I know that I was, you know, some of the books that I talk about, like the book, you know, Stephen Pressfield's, Art of War was really good. Hendricks, I guess it's The Big Leap, but he talks about the upper limit problem. All those things that really focus on anything really helps you get the heart of your inner, of the inner game. Because I realized it took me a while before I realized that the reason why I wasn't getting the success I wanted was because of me. You know, I finally had to take a look and think, well, I tried all these external strategies and I'm still haven't gotten anywhere. So I guess the only thing left is to work on myself. So for me, that's where I would be. And the other thing too, is that, you know, I really wish that I discovered the Enneagram book, you know, much earlier, because I think I, you know, rather than proceed down this very painful path, it would have been nice if I had gotten a handle on my emotions sooner and stopped worrying years ago, because I could have saved myself an awful lot of anxiety.
Yeah. You make a valid, valid point. So where are you headed now? What kind of new adventures, businesses, family? Talk about what you're doing today and how you're helping people and what your business is all about.
So I am, so I've got the Love Based Biz blog, which is going, it's a fresh blog. And what I mean by that, it's only been a year old, but it's starting to get some real big traction. I've got a podcast myself, Love Based Money, on there. And, so really, really trying to get the love based philosophy into the world. And then also working on I've got two fiction novels out, and they're psychological thrillers, and Mirror Image and Stolen Twin. And I'm working on a new fiction series, which should be out. I'm very close to having the second book done, and I'm planning to launch that this summer. So that will be a new adventure, because I've never done a fiction series before. So I'm pretty excited.
That's awesome. That's pretty awesome. So with the fiction, is it different writing fiction than, I mean, with all the different categories that you have, right? Like copywriting and marketing tools and everything that you write. I mean, do you use the same tactics for each, or do you have certain ways of doing things based on the genre or something that you're writing?
You know, it's interesting, but I actually have different writing rituals depending on what I'm writing. I'm going to have to cough. I can't believe this. First I get kicked off and then I have to cough. You think while I was kicked off, I would have coughed and then I would have been fine.
Right.
So I actually have different writing rituals depending on what it is that I'm working on. So I have I like different candles. I like different candles. I put on different music. That's what I do.
Perfect.
But yeah, perfect. It is different. It is different depending on what it is, but you still want to get the muse involved.
Definitely. Yep. So I just wanted to make sure. Yeah. Because there's a lot that goes into, you know, writing the sales copy and writing marketing things and just getting everything, you know, together so that, you know, it sells and it's fresh and it's great. And everybody wants to read it. Because like you said before, you know, when I see super long emails, I'm like, oh, like this sucks. like I know I'm going to have to read it all. And I'm like, God, this is super long. Or I see like I get on a landing page and there's just like this super long, like sales copy. I'm like, holy crap. Like, does it have to be long to be effective? Or, because with people's attention spans today, I wouldn't think you'd have to write something super long.
You know, it doesn't have to be long. Long still does work, though. I think what it really has to do is it has to tap into people's passion. And so in that sense, that's one of the things that's one of the things where everything comes together. Like, you want to tap into to passion and, you know, and emotion when you're writing fiction. And you want to tap into people's passion, too, when you're writing copy, because, you know, passion, hope, especially when you are writing it from a love-based perspective. I mean, regardless, you're tapping into emotion, and you can choose to tap into fear or love. So you can tap into the passion, the hope, the transformation that people are looking for, and use that, and still use stories. There's a lot of story uses in copy and marketing because stories sell. You know, people want to read stories. So you can, so putting stories in your email, story in your, like my books have a lot of stories in it. My nonfiction books have a lot of my story. The Love Makes Money one, especially, I share a lot of my story, but I share my stories throughout. I share stories from my clients, from other people. So people can really get a sense of how this works, because that's how we really do learn through stories. It's encoded in our DNA, our brain processes stories. So that's another thing that's been kind of the sort of a unifying factor. And even like think about some of our most like blog posts that are really popular, a lot of them because they integrate, you know, either the author's story or somebody else's story in that blog post.
Yep. Yeah, I was always wondering about it. I'm like, because I write my stuff, but all I hear about is, well, it's got to be quick, it's got to be to the point, like take out the fluff, and you want to connect with them, and and so it's not too short, but I mean, it's kind of, you know, it's longer, you know, because I have a lot of stuff to share. But I mean, I've seen pages where it's like scroll, 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 like, oh my gosh, this thing is long. So do you think that people do that? They scroll to see how long the pages are before they read them?
Yeah, and what a lot of times they will. So they'll actually scroll down, and they're skimming as they're scrolling down. And then a lot of times they're making note of things they want to do better. So if you actually look at like a heat map of how people read, you know, they'll usually scroll all the way down to the bottom. They're also looking for the price. And then they'll start scrolling up and reading things that have caught their eye. So they rarely will start at the beginning and read straight down. They're usually jumping around. You know, people need a certain number of questions. They need their questions answered, I guess. So if they're gonna buy something, and this is everybody, you have questions you need answered before you're gonna buy. Now, if something costs $0.99 or $99 or $999 or $1,900 or $19,000, you're gonna have different questions, and likely the more expensive it gets, the you're going to have more questions as well. That's one of the reasons why when you start getting more higher priced items, they're longer, because you're going to have more questions. And the thing is that everybody has different questions. Part of the reason why that sort of the jump and the skipping works, because then somebody who only has a few questions, they can get those questions answered and then they can buy. And then somebody who's got a lot more questions, they can spend on it a lot longer and get more of their questions answered so they can buy. So that's kind of how it is. You're trying to satisfy a variety of people and a variety of questions.
There you go. Answers the question. I like it. So this is the moment now at the end of the show where we do a shameless plug. You can plug a friend, your quotes, websites, Facebook, products, your books, movies, give a shout out, whatever you want to do. This is your moment. Shameless plug, go.
So I would love to invite all of you to visit the lovebasedbiz.com or lovebasedbizblog.com. And that's really where I'm digging more into this, you know, everything love-based, love-based business, love-based marketing, all of that, love-based goals. And, you know, and also you can learn more about the Love-Based Business series of books on there as well. And then, of course, if you like fiction, if you like psychological thrillers, mystery suspense books, it would be great if you wanted to check out the novels as well. And you can find those at michelleparizowasik.com, which I know is a mouthful. Or you can just simply find the Love Base books on Amazon. My Author Central account has everything linked to it, so you can find it that way too. But yes, the Love Base Biz blog is, or lovebasebiz.com is kind of the central hub for everything.
There you go. I like it. So as we wrap up, can you deliver your best nugget of knowledge that will motivate, transcend, and inspire someone to take action?
Wherever you're at right now is absolutely perfect. And so what I just love to let everybody know is, you know, is don't compare yourself. Be patient where you're at. A lot of these people that you probably admire and, you know, and you look up to, you know, you don't know what they went through to get to where they're at. You also don't know how much team they have. You don't know how long it all took. So just really be patient with yourself on the process and know, and, you know, pick yourself back up when you fall down and just really, you know, be good to yourself. I think, you know, we all beat ourselves up a lot. I beat myself up an awful lot. We're harder on ourselves than anybody else. And that's not really helpful in terms of building a business or building a life, especially if you want to build a love-based one. So I just really would love to inspire everybody to just be, you know, gentle with yourself.
That's amazing. Cause I need to hear that too. Like, don't compare yourself. Cause me and my buddies, we always talk, we're kind of doing the same thing. We're always speaking, you know, and I look, I'm like, man, like this guy is crushing it. And then all of a sudden, like, you know, I get like a whole bunch of stuff going right in my life. I'm like, yeah. And they're like, dude, you're crushing it. Like, I think just subconsciously, we're always checking. We're kind of peeking to see what other people do. Like, what's he doing over there? Like, we're just kind of just peeking over the fence. But we got to, like, knock that off. Like, don't do that. Just stay in your lane and focus on what you need to focus on. Yeah,
exactly.
I love that.
Do your part and don't get worried about what other people are doing.
Yep. I love that. So as we wrap up, we always end the show with a call to action. So what should someone do today? You mentioned going to lovebasedbiz.com. We talked about your books. What should somebody do? Set a goal, plan something, write in a journal. What would be your call to action today?
Start to observe when you get triggered by something, when you feel like anger or worry. Those are the two main ones, I would say. When that crops up, start doing as much as you can to observe the action you take to avoid feeling it. So just start there. You don't have to actually stop that action that's next, but just start to observe what it is that you do so that you can become familiar with all the, with your action and the patterns that you do to sort of avoid feeling your fear-based emotions.
I like it. Awesome. Michelle, thank you so much for being on the show. I learned a lot. I've got to get better at copywriting and marketing, and I'm going to take some of the things that you had mentioned and put it to good use. So I want to thank you so much for your time today.
Well, thank you for having me.
It has been a blessing and an honor. And so your website is lovebasedbiz.com. And they can go there and get your free book, How to Start a Business You Love and That Loves You Back. Is that right?
Yep, that is absolutely right.
Outstanding. So once again, Michelle, thank you so much. You've been an amazing guest, and we will talk to you soon. Life Transmission Radio listeners, another amazing guest, another incredible episode. Reach out to Michelle. You go to Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram. Look for Michelle with one L, MichelePW is her last name, Michelle PW. You got to check her out. She's doing incredible things. If you're not good at copywriting, if you're not good at writing sales copy, if you suck at marketing, look her up, send her a message, get in touch with her, get her book. It's going to change your life. So as we close the show, I always say, live your brand. Find opportunities every day to live out those values that you hold deeper in your heart. And I call that living your brand. And until next episode, have a great night.